Freedom 97.1 and 1120 AM WSME, Camp Lejeune, Jacksonville, and worldwide at WSME971.com.
You are listening to Sports Talk with Chris Rayner on Freedom 97.1, 1120 AM WSME.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready.
Good morning, Friday, May 19th, 2023. Sports Talk is on the road once again. We are broadcasting today from Platinum Corral, the headquarters of Golden Corral, with our guest today, Bob Warden. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
If you don't know Bob, if you're a country mouse, you may not know Bob. Bob is a city mouse and on the Jacksonville City Council.
Yes, sir.
Glad to have you with us today.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
We're not going to talk about a lot of council stuff. We're going to talk about cool stuff.
Yeah.
Sports stuff.
Yes.
Not that the other stuff he doesn't do is cool, but that's a different show.
Well,
that
sports people. You know, I'm one of those nerds that happen to like to talk about water and sewer, too. So,
well, you love to talk about sports, too, though.
I do.
You have an extensive sports background. You're like me. You love to go to a ball game, don't you?
I do. I do. There's nothing. It's sometimes can more convenient to sit in your easy chair and sit and watch a sporting event. But I'm telling you, when you're there, the excitement, it makes it so much more enjoyable.
And every now and then, you just got to get the feel for the event. One of those games you go to where you're sitting there, say it's an NC State game, and late in the, you're a big State fan, obviously.
Yes, sir.
We'll go ahead and get that out of there. Late in the game, State's, you know, kind of getting the raw end of the deal, you know, for the day. It looks like things aren't happening. You don't leave, because if you ever leave, you always miss that chance of a miracle finish.
The last really exciting State game that I went to was that overtime win against Miami.
Wow.
In basketball this past season. That was just a – of course, Miami has had a very good team this year. We were kind of middling, but Miami was very good, and it was just an exciting game. I was glad I was there. I would have not have enjoyed it near as much if had I watched it on TV.
True.
So.
It still would have been fun, but not quite as fun.
Not as fun.
There's something about those games where the crowd really gets into it, and there's something that kind of, you know, gets them a little more motivated than usual. Mm-hmm. And some places you go, they're like that the whole time, man. Some places are crazy.
And I'll be honest, the food always tastes better at a venue than it does out of my refrigerator.
It does, and it tastes more expensive, too.
Yeah,
a lot more. If I could get a chicken sandwich or a couple of chicken legs in with me to the game, I would try it. But the grease spot might show through my shorts.
And I noticed that when I go to the Wood Ducks at those Thirsty Thursdays. I am a little thirstier on Thursday.
Yes, and that makes you eat more food, which makes you more thirsty. It's a vicious cycle.
It is, it is.
It's like the character from Austin Powers. I won't say his name because it could be offensive. But he says, I'm fat because I eat. I eat because I'm fat. It's a vicious cycle.
And I think they add a little extra salt to the popcorn at those venues, too, so you continue to be thirsty.
Oh, yeah, and like they used to say, you go to the movie theater, and they would claim they would have those subliminal messages in there, you know, go eat popcorn,
yep,
drink beer, whatever,
yep,
you know.
Whatever.
Well, before we get any further, we want to make sure everybody knows that Sports Talk is powered by National Dodge, Chrysler Jeep Ram, Rock Creek Golf and Country Club, Golden Corral, which is where we are today. We're trying to hit all our sponsors and give them a little love. So we're on a little tour here and there to take it on remote to all our sponsors. Bartley Insurance Services, Bill Mercer, Lane and Associates Family Dentistry, Humphrey Heating and Air, Jones Onzo EMC, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, Southern Touch Painting, and Fountain Management. And Downey's Heating and Air is also sponsors of our Hurricane Report and our Wood Ducks Roundup. And hold on just a second, pages are sticking together here. You can also check out the Sports Talk podcast at WSME971.com. And thanks also to everybody who help put this together, especially Hollywood.
Hey, well, thank you very much.
Hollywood is our man on the road.
Yes, that's
he
right.
He can take all this stuff, put it together in just a couple of minutes. I would still be plugging in wires and testing. And
let me tell you, I am proud to be Chris's executive.
You're the producer, right?
Executive producer.
I
right, executive
I was producer. Your announcer. You're in charge.
I work for Chris.
No, you're in charge.
Aren't you also a writer, or like a show writer, too?
Yeah,
how come you're not on strike? I think Hollywood's still.
I should be.
You're sympathizing with Hollywood. You share the name, right?
That's right. This show should be on hiatus.
Are you a sitcom writer?
I am. Because this is a sitcom, really.
Now, you got a little something you want to share with us about
Golden
Corral?
Yeah.
Since we're here at Platinum Corral today, let's
give them a little more love. Platinum Corral, headquarters of Golden Corral. Check out these Memorial Day specials at Golden Corral, North Marine Boulevard, Jacksonville. They got ham and ribs carved nightly. And don't forget about sirloin steak served nightly. All day Sunday, along with comfort food favorites, including fried chicken, pot roast, jumbo shrimp, fried and baked fish. And remember, you can dine in, take out, or take advantage of Golden Corral's catering service. Catering for 10 to 1,000 for your social, church, or group events. Golden Corral, the only one for everyone, open 8 to 9, 7 days a week. You can give them a call now I think that's 910, not 930. I wrote the wrong thing down there. 930, where is that? 910-455-3773 or goldencorral.com online. North Marine Boulevard, Jacksonville, and, of course, Greenville Boulevard in Greenville. There you go.
Golden Corral's good stuff, man. I can eat there all the time. And
the buffet
looking at
amazing,
me, you can tell I probably do.
What's that?
Looking at me, you can tell I probably
Oh, you look
do.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
nice,
you look like you've hit the buffet a time or two.
A time or two. They put in a speed bump at the Golden Corral Buffet for me because I was going through it too fast. Before I forget this week, I'm going to go ahead and hit the Wood Ducks because we're going to get into some other summer baseball stuff here in a minute. But I do want to hit our Wood Ducks, and thank you to Downey's Heating and Air for being one of our sponsors. They sponsor that and the Hurricanes Report. I'm going to tease you on the Hurricanes a little bit because I'm going to save it for the end. If you didn't watch last night, I'm not going to let you know right now. You're going to have to wait till the end to find out how the Canes did. First round of the Eastern Finals, so that'll be coming up. We're right in the middle of a two-week home stretch for the Wood Ducks. They've kind of been a little up and down. They had Delmarva last week, 500 record versus Delmarva. So far against Fayetteville, a 10-0 victory Tuesday. That was kind of a whitewash. Is that like the mercy rule?
It ought to be.
I'm not sure they do that. I don't think they do that in minor league baseball, but it could be. The Ducks will be playing tonight. Friday, May 19th, that'll be, what does he say they have on Fridays? I think they have fireworks sometimes, all kinds of giveaways, things like that. Got to get John Clemens back to give us an update on the different things they give away. You spoke earlier about Thirsty Thursday. Mm-hmm. That was a staple for years with Kinston Indians games.
Yeah, it sure was. And Kiwanis Club would sometimes charter a bus and head up on Thirsty Thursday and just had a good time.
Excuse me. My dad worked for the old Carolina Telephone, and they used to do the same thing. That was back when a lot of companies did things like that for their employees. Right, it seems like it's harder to come by now.
It is. It's probably socially not acceptable to take a carload or a busload of guys up and let them partake of Thirsty Thursday. So,
well, even with Carolina Telephone, it would be like a family thing. They would take their families, and I remember the companies like back then used to be so much more family friendly and employee friendly, and man, they got a lot more out of the employees. And everybody's kind of cutting corners, and I think one day they'll realize that that's not where it's at. But looking at the weekend schedule for the Wood Ducks, they got Fayetteville tonight against Hollywood. Always cringes when I say this, but this is the matchup of the Woodies versus the Peckers. You got the Fayetteville Wood Ducks, whose nickname is the Woodies, and the Fayetteville Woodpeckers, whose nickname is the Peckers, and the Downey's Wood Ducks, whose nickname is the Woodies. So, and they say it on the radio all through the night, so on the PA, so you'll hear it when you go up there. And then tomorrow, Saturday, May 20th, 5 p.m. start, a little earlier in the evening if you want to get up there for a Saturday. And then Sunday before the travel day of Monday, they always start at 1, so that'll be a Sunday afternoon matinee, basically, to finish out this homestand. Then the Wood Ducks will go on the road at the Carolina Mudcats, which if you've ever been up there, Five County Stadium in Zebulon, that's a great place to go check out a ballgame, too. So that'd be a good time to go see the Wood Ducks on the road. Now, do you go to any Wood Ducks games now?
Have not been this year, and Fridays are usually a tough. You got to get there early on a Friday because it's such a popular venue, and the parking spaces fill up pretty quick. But we try to go a couple times a year, my family, and just have a nice time up there.
Oh, yeah. And it's one of those few sporting venues where the front spaces fill up last, if you know why.
Well, yes, and let me tell you a little story. We got up there late one Friday, and I was driving my in-law's car, and there was no parking spaces anywhere close. I mean, you had to park a good two blocks away.
Yeah.
But there was a few spaces along that left field side, that third base side, and I said, you know, I'm going to park there. I said, what's with all these other cars?
What are the chances?
What are the chances of our car getting hit? Well, you can imagine what our chances were. Safe light replace,
yeah,
or whatever is what we ended up having to do. We had a crack windshield. So,
and I've seen some there that get little minor dings, like, you know, the ball will hit the pavement and then hit the car, which still is a ding.
Yep.
But then we saw one night that was the classic, dead center of the windshield. It was like that thing where people stick the ball in there, like, for, you know, some fake thing.
It was stuck in there.
Oh, man. It stayed right there, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was bad.
Oh, man.
So somebody had a bad night. But I think the Indians won back then. That was the Indians, so it was a good night. Now, I know you used to go all the time when the Indians were there, the Kinston Indians.
Yeah, I've probably only been a couple times to the Woodies, but Kinston Indians, we would go at least 2, 3, sometimes 4 or 5 times a year. There's something about baseball to me. I do not enjoy particularly watching baseball on TV, but in person, that is just an enjoyable sport to go sit and watch to me. It's just such a more relaxed atmosphere. Football is enjoyable too, but it's a little more faster pace. Hockey is very, very fast paced. Basketball is extremely fast paced. But it's something about a summertime, a hot summer evening, just sitting out there with your family. You're just relaxing in the shade underneath the stadium. It's just really nice.
Oh, yeah,
I enjoy baseball when that happens.
You know, I lived in Bristol,
Tennessee,
Virginia, Tennessee, because they got the line right there downtown, you know. But I lived there for 4 years. And I worked in radio there, and, you know, we had free tickets to Bristol all the time, the races there. And I loved it, like, in person. Like, it's exhilarating to go in person. This was back in the late 90s when in kind of the heyday of NASCAR. But I couldn't stand watching on TV, going around in circles, couldn't stand it. But in person, it's just something about it. This is so much fun.
And didn't I see where they're actually racing at North Wilkesboro for the first time in
this weekend,
a few decades? Yeah, wow. That's pretty neat, because you ride by and it was just a deserted venue there, just right along whatever road that
421
was. 421. On the way to Boone usually, but. I'm excited to see that. And, of course, that's one of the places that it got its start, where NASCAR ended up being so popular. So,
and really, when you think about it, that could have, you know, the rights to be the beginning track, because Junior Johnson, the Moonshine Runners, were all through those hills in that area.
Sure.
Even though Charlotte's considered the center of NASCAR, I would consider North Wilkesboro as probably the place where the area was more of the starting area, you know?
Yep.
The old Moonshine Runners, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Junior Johnson, they got the highway right there next to the tracks named after him.
And, you know, that when you go to those NASCAR races, it isn't just the hearing, it's the smelling.
Yeah.
And it's the feeling, because you feel that rumble in your chest. I mean, it resonates. All your senses are involved when you go to a NASCAR
right.
race.
The ambiance.
That on TV. You don't get any of that.
Wow.
Here's some of the smells you get. You get the speedy dry. That gets in your eyes a little too sometimes. The rubber smell, like, you know, when it's on the track, especially after a wreck or something.
Hot engines.
Hot engines. 110 octane fuel, which will just about make you loopy the first time they come by. You smell that gas, you're like, man, that just about knock you out. Right. And then back in the old days at Charlotte Motor Speedway, Humpy Wheeler, you've heard that name before.
Yeah.
Great promoter at Charlotte. He would always blow up some stuff before a race. They'd have a little pre-race thing out there, and usually a little napalm was involved. When that napalm went off, man, you could feel the heat on your face.
Right.
That far away, yeah. I don't know how the people up close to it stood it.
It was entertainment, man.
Race we went, we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere comes an ice cream truck. And the announcer comes on, folks, we've had someone steal an ice cream truck. Please bear with us. We're trying to get – and you see the police cars chasing. You're like, this is really happening. That was the first impression. But then as it went on and the way he was describing it, you pretty much knew it was a stage. And then you saw the ramp and all the stuff that was getting ready to happen. When that ice cream truck hit the ramp, went about halfway through and then exploded, I'm like, wow, this is pretty cool. You know, this is you know, all this for a pre-race thing.
But, you know, now they have so many modifications. You talked about this, Chris, so much that the heyday, you know, it was more tailored to one audience. And then the wine and cheese crowd, and it just fell apart. And they're trying to bring it back now.
They're back to beer and chicken now instead of wine.
Yeah, they're trying to bring it back. And it used to be they've done all these things now, so you don't have as many wrecks. But people used to go for the Rex.
Yeah.
And, of course, they made it a lot safer, which is good.
They made it safer, which is good. But I just – you remember in the heyday, Bob, the cars were basically off the showroom floor. Now, honestly, they were not a stock car.
Right.
But they
looked like one than what they're doing
you
today.
You could tell a Lumina from a Monte Carlo, or you could tell a Monte Carlo from a Thunderbird. You could tell the old Buicks. Remember the Monte Carlos with the hat, you know, the cutoff back, you mm-hmm. know. And that was the cars that people, you know, there used to be an old expression, if it won on Sunday, it sold on Monday.
What are they going to do when they go to all electric?
I don't think that.
How are we going to have an NASCAR?
I'm going to say I don't think that will happen, but I never thought I'd see a foreign, you know, brand car in there.
Right.
And I know Toyotas are made in America, but it's still a, you know, foreign company,
right,
you know.
Right.
And
The profits go back overseas. They don't stay here in America.
If you'd have told me back in NASCAR's heyday, probably 20 years ago, that there would be a foreign brand, no Dodge products whatsoever, no, you know, Chrysler products, I said you were crazy.
Especially when Dodge was known as the muscle cars. They were really, Dodge and Chrysler
and
were really.
Mopar. I mean, Harry Brown will tell you,
Mopar was one of the leading innovators on the muscle cars.
The Hemis, that's where Richard Petty cut his teeth in NASCAR, you know. And you know sports history pretty well. You know that Richard Petty actually won one of his 200 races here in Onslow County.
I've heard that.
Out at the old speedway there off Old 30 Road.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get out there one day, maybe wintertime when the critters are not, you know, slithering around.
Takes the pictures.
Get back in the woods because the banks and everything are still there. Just like you said, it was North Wilkesboro, though, with the trees growing through it. Right. And that always used to break my heart. You go to Boone and you pass by and you see those trees growing through the grandstand.
Yep.
And they have done a great job of resurrecting that place. So if anybody has tickets for this weekend's race, 910-389-6146. Text me or call me, and I'll be glad to go.
We've gone way off track here. Well, not really. We're talking about
sports. But we're talking about what makes local sports.
That's right.
Because I have a segue here.
And by the way, there's a lot of local speedways. You see some good racing.
Oh, yeah.
Have a lot of fun. So this guy, we used to call him. This is the kind of person we called him back in the day. Because I've worked in radio for a long time. This person calls every radio station. I'm saying that, not every, but
a lot,
to try to win prizes. Okay, and he's got a system now. Like he calls a certain time. All this, these kinds of people, we call them prize pigs. Because all
it took was 30 days that I could win again.
Yeah, he waited 30 days. Bam, he's on the phone calling. Yep. You know? Anyway, I'm sorry.
By the way, I won some Aerosmith tickets already.
Did you really?
Those things are like a mortgage payment.
You taking me?
If you want to go,
I may do that.
You
have
to fight the wife for this one.
Okay,
Just looking at him, I wouldn't call him a prize pig, but a prize bull or a, you know, something along those lines is what I when I
yeah that prize
when
pig,
I, when I look at him, yeah,
that's kind of offensive. That's offensive.
Yeah. Well, it's offensive to pigs.
He looks like he could still walk out onto a football field and snap the ball to somebody.
And have these young kids run right over me now. It's a different bear than it used to be, man. The training things are a lot better than what we did. And when we got a segment here where we talk about, I'll just give you a little teaser on it, the greatest of all time in Major League Baseball. So you can be thinking about that. When you think about the different eras, you have, like, now all the training stuff available and all the supplements and all the good stuff they do to make their bodies better. You had Babe Ruth stepping off a train after an all-night drunk, playing cards and, you know, being with the ladies and hit 3 home runs and pitched both ends of a doubleheader.
Sure.
So, I mean, I say that all the time. I got to get some new material, don't I? Because everybody that listens every week is going, man, you said that the last 100 weeks. But it's true, though. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to segue into local sports, some things going on in the Jacksonville-Onslow area. We'll be right back on Sports Talk.
It's Sports Talk on Freedom 97.1 WSME.
Hey, it's Chris Traynor. Welcome back to Sports Talk, Friday, May 19th, 2023. Got guests today, Bob Warden from the Jacksonville City Council. Thanks for being with us, Bob.
Yeah, glad to be here.
We've blathered on about some topics to kind of get people loosened up, and now we're going to get to what you're here for today. Let's talk a little local Jacksonville sports.
Okay.
Would you like to talk about multi-purpose facility first or baseball?
Let's talk about baseball since I've got it sitting here first on my pile.
And it's prime baseball time, right?
Yes, it is.
Season's gotten started.
It is.
Who's your favorite major league team?
Well, it's probably going to have to be the Atlanta Braves, but I really don't follow them as much as I used to. When my son was young and living at the house, he was a big Atlanta Braves fan. And so I had to follow – excuse me. I had to follow along just so I could talk to him. So I don't see him that often enough to where we talk baseball, so I don't follow as much as I used to.
Well, and the Braves were America's team, remember?
Yeah.
You come in the summer nights, you know, after basketball and hockey was done. It was baseball for a long time before football started. Yeah. And you turn on the TV, there was nothing else on to watch.
Nope.
You either had a Braves baseball game or a Cubs game.
Yep.
Because you had the Superstation, WGM had the Cubs.
Right.
And, of course, TBS, Ted Turner had the Braves.
Of course.
So that's why a lot of people in this area love the Braves.
Well, growing up, we didn't have the Atlanta Braves. Growing up here in Jacksonville, born and raised here, and I was a New York Yankee fan.
Yeah.
Just because of Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle and Whitey Ford and –
You're talking about the heyday.
And some of those guys,
right?
Yeah, that was just great stuff for me to
Yogi Berra,
Oh, gosh, yeah. Great. Elston Howard, I could go on and on with those guys. I really loved. That was back when a player stayed with the team for his career.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you don't have people jumping around like they do.
I mean, you take someone like now, like Aaron Rodgers, and I realize it's football, but so long with the Packers, and now going to finish his career. It's like Brett Favre the same way. So long with the Packers, it didn't even seem right to see him in a Jets uniform or a Vikings uniform.
Yeah, now look at college basketball for in particular.
It's terrible.
Jumping around. Yeah. I saw where ECU got a guy. This is his third team since he's been in college. He was an NC State guy, went to LSU. Now he ended up at ECU. They're just chasing dollars or chasing, I guess, maybe in some of them, their opportunity to play. They don't feel like they deserve to be sitting on the bench.
And it's so sad, too, because you no longer see the kid process through the system and work his way up. He just says, I'm not playing. I'm going to go play somewhere else.
Yep.
It's the quitters, me first mentality now. I wonder what the record is so far for most teams that a guy has. That one you said with three is probably
three.
Probably close. So that's the transfer portal, of course, in my opinion, it's ruined college basketball.
Or will ruin it. Now I understand that the high school students can now partake in NIL money, too.
Well, that may be short-lived.
Okay.
The legislature, of course, is getting involved. And I don't know if you've heard the rumblings coming out of college sports, but a lot of these NIL guys are taking that money and hitting the gambling sites with it. Because you can do everything online now.
Well, what do they expect? These are kids whose brains have not fully developed yet.
Exactly.
They've not matured. They've never had to live in the real world, and all of a sudden they got all this money thrown at them. What do you think they're going to do? I know what I would have done. I'd have done the same thing. When I was that young, I was stupid too. So,
and the worst part is a lot of them now are gambling on their own teams, so they're having a direct impact on the outcome, and I think you end up seeing something get modified with the NIL because it's just too much, as you said, for these young guys to handle.
Yeah, Pete Rose was banned for life from the Hall of Fame, so for that same thing. So,
and I think that's something that needs to be corrected too, since you brought it up.
Yep.
Hopefully, one day that will be rectified.
Well, how did we get off topic?
I do that all the time.
I don't know. I don't know how we did.
Back to baseball. we talked earlier about the Wood Ducks. Now you've heard the Wood Ducks may be leaving.
No, I have not.
Yes, possibly next year. They may be going to Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
That is a great time for the Jacksonville to jump in with this league here. What is it? Tell us exactly what it entails.
All right, this is the title. We got a proposal the other day, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it as we go along. But we had a proposal from a couple owners. They're Marine veterans, or at least he is. They're local entrepreneurs. And they wanted to bring a team here, or actually start a team here, as part of the Old North State League. Now, the Old North State League is a fairly new concept. It was really just an idea in 2018. And so what this is, it's actually a college league. Not college teams per se, but a league made up of college players. And so if Jacksonville was to sign an agreement and these folks started a team, then they would be joining a league that there's approximately 15 or 16 teams currently across state, and I'll go over some of those names here in just a second. But they would be drafting. They're not paying these guys. They're college students. And they would only play during the month of June and July when college is out. And they would draft teams from your local colleges and universities such that they might draft some kids from Mount Olive or perhaps Duke or NC State
or Wilmington
or some of those smaller colleges, NCAA, North Carolina A&T, et cetera, and so on. So this is a fairly new idea. They've it's still fairly new. There's roughly 15 teams. I saw where about a month ago, Greenville signed an agreement with one of their local guys to do something.
Oh, cool.
What I like about this is it's a wood bat league, and that is just during the summertime. And it's in our favor. It's a local entrepreneur who's a Marine veteran, and they want to bring something good to Jacksonville and Onslow County. And when I use the word Jacksonville, I'm going to be interchangeable with Onslow County. So it may be signed an agreement with the city of Jacksonville, but it's for the county of Onslow. Some of the teams that are out there, you mentioned the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. There's also a college team called the Fayetteville Chutes, which is, I guess, based on Fort Bragg's or soon to be Fort Liberty, by the way, paratroopers. Lenore, the Lexington Flying Pigs, the Reedsville Luckies, the Oak City Gliders, the Pineville Porcupines, the Sanford Spinners, the Sandhill Bogies, et cetera, et cetera. All of them have pretty good names. There's a couple teams even in South Carolina, like Marion Swamp Foxes. So anyway, that's.
Let me see those names. Those are awesome, man.
Yeah, and so one of the things that these guys will be doing, we'll be having a naming contest for whatever we call the team, whether we call them Jacksonville something or the Onslow County something or maybe even the Camp Lejeune. You know, somebody suggested the Camp Lejeune Leathernecks might be a good name for us. So anyway, they'll be if the city signs that agreement with them, then they will be holding a naming contest. So it's baseball. I'd like to call it baseball like it used to be. These are guys that are playing for the love of the sport. Obviously, they're trying to enhance their skills. So hopefully, they'll be able to go back to their respective schools and be a better player or perhaps help them get into the bigs, if you will. One of the unique things about this, obviously, besides them not getting any pay, I'm sure they get some sort of per diem, though, for meals and so forth, is that they'll actually have host families. So they'll actually be staying with local families during that two-month period while they're here local. So that gives them a chance to interact with the local community. And the season will be about 60 days, so there'll be somewhere around 50 games, and that would mean about 25 home games. And they would be evening games, so, you know, very family-oriented. The games start about 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Hopefully, since the upfront costs are not as much, there's really no overhead, that it would be a reasonable entry fee, and they'll be able to – somebody you can travel local and just pay a few – several dollars maybe and be able to come in. We're proposing that the home field is going to be Jack Amiette. I'm sure y'all are familiar with Jack Amiette.
Historic area, yeah. Historic ball field.
Well, it's really, if I'm being told correctly, it's really I'm not going to call it a professional field, but it's at a higher level than any high school field here in Onslow County, so I've been told.
Now, I understand it meets a lot of the requirements already.
It does. We're going to be required, if we sign this agreement with these folks, to provide seating for about 750. I think we're going to be able to provide 800 or so here. Obviously, there's no bullpens there. There's not much in the way of bathroom facilities, but we'll work something out where they'll have access to some more bathroom facilities. We'll have to bring in some bleachers. And we're envisioning food trucks being able to set up out there to provide the concessions. So, we're hoping perhaps to even have a beer garden. That'll be a first for a city facility, have something like that. Minimal investment on the behalf of the city. I think we're looking at somewhere around $250,000, investment on our behalf to provide some things. Some of those that, of course, we've got to create a couple bullpens here. I'm showing Chris, right now, a overhead shot, looks like a drone shot, or maybe came off of Google Earth, I'm not sure, of that Jack Amiette. And if you're not familiar where Jack Amiette is, it's located behind, it's in the old New River subdivision, and it's now called Town Center over there, and the old New River Shopping Center is right across the street in right and center field. Clyde Irwin Elementary School is right over here, Chris. Yep. And you noticed
you got a
big parking lot. And of course, one of the things that once, if we sign an agreement with these folks, then we're going to be talking to the school system. Hey, can we use your parking lot in the evenings when hopefully
games,
there shouldn't be a conflict with any of their activities. And of course, it'd be during the summer when in theory school's out anyway.
Yeah,
so
it
shouldn't be there. And we're probably also going to have to talk to the old New River Shopping Center folks for some additional parking.
And that's not far away at all.
Walk across the street. I'm afraid this parking that we have here at Jack Amiette itself really will not be. It'll probably just be for the officials and
players.
The umpires and a few players.
To be honest with you, judging by the location behind home plate, I don't want to park.
I don't know what we're going to be able to do to provide some protection.
Well, I'm sure they'll have more netting.
But we're going to have to do some netting or something. But anyway, you know, some of the things we're going to have to do, we're going to have to put some sort of an opaque covering around the fence out in the outfield so that you can't steal looking through the fence and watching the game without paying. Obviously, the whole idea on this thing is this is going to be a business venture for the patinas as well as a act of love. So.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and I want to come back. I have a few questions for you I'm sure some of the public may ask, and we'll come back right back on Sports Talk and talk more about this collegiate baseball league that's possibly coming here.
Okay. Thank you.
Right back on Sports Talk.
It's Sports Talk on Freedom 97.1 WSME.
Welcome back. It's Chris Rayner here at Sports Talk. We have Bob Warden with us today from the Jacksonville City Council talking about the college-level summer baseball league team that may come to Onslow County, Jacksonville area. We're hoping soon that can possibly be a thing. Now, you guys had a vote earlier this week, and it's been tabled for a little while.
Yes.
Share with everyone what the reasoning for and what's going on behind the scenes there.
We were asked by a minor league group to table this discussion for 30 days. We postponed this issue to signing a contract with the Old North State College baseball team till June 20th. And so this minor league group, by the way, they met with us with the staff about 3 years ago and just kind of was just sort of feeling the area out and really we haven't heard much from them until we started moving forward with this college baseball league, the Old North State League. So they're going to be meeting with city staff, and we'll see what comes out of it. I don't know what's going to happen. I guess probably doesn't hurt to tell how I'm leaning. Although I guess I'm supposed to be impartial when it comes to hearing the proposal, and
sure you'll hear all.
Hear the proposal if they bring us one back, but. One of the things that I like about this is that I think this is going to be a little more affordable, mm-hmm. not only for the city and the initial investment as opposed to what a minor league team would be requiring, but also I think it will be a little more affordable for families and individuals. I think the college baseball thing, because they do not have the overhead that a minor league team would have to bring in, I think makes it a whole lot more affordable. I mentioned the city investment in the Old North State League. We can provide what they need for roughly $250,000. I'm going to just guess what I think an investment is going to be required from a minor league team. I think we're looking at somewhere in the $12 to $15 million to provide a new facility. The college baseball league only requires somewhere around 750 seats. We're going to provide roughly 800 here at Jack Amiette with portable bleachers. I think I've been told that the minor league teams are going to need roughly 2,500 seats. Well,
talking about a whole new facility.
Whole new facility, and let me tell you why I'm leaning. It's not just the cost. We need to find out how well the community, and when I say community, I'm also including Camp Lejeune, how well the community will support something like this. If we provide a good quality baseball game here, and we're providing 800 seats, but we can't fill it up, that makes it kind of tough to tell a minor league group that we're going to be able to fill up 2,500 seats. So this is a chance for us to gauge the interest of baseball here in Onslow County with a minimal investment. And it really doesn't, in my mind, it doesn't preclude us from having that minor league options at some point in the future. We're going to talk in just a little while about the 400 acres that we have that the city bought out of off of Williamsburg area. It's possible that a baseball venue might be part of that. We won't know till we go through the community involvement process. And we'll expand on that some more when we talk about that next issue. But
we'll go back to the college level league. Sure. This isn't actually a brand new thing. There's been a Valley League for years that's been in play.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not talking about college level players that are like, you know, you're out there watching a high school game. These are players that are probably one step from the minors the next year.
Yep.
So you're basically getting a lot cheaper, almost like a minor league team.
Sure.
And you got guys that, you know, are going to play their guts out in this league.
Sure, sure.
They're not out there for a contract. They're out there to prove to the next level. And the Cape Cod League, that's probably the most famous collegiate baseball league. That's been in existence for years. And you have these college players that will come there for a summer. They're going to be part of your community basically for a summer. They'll be ones that, you know, you may get a chance to get an autographed baseball from a guy that ends up, you know, being the next Roger Clemens.
Sure, sure.
You know, it's a neat thing to have.
And it's unique. And, again, like I said, they're going to be residing in residence homes here in Onslow County,
right,
which I think is pretty unique. Hey, if I'm a Marine out at Lejeune, or if I'm a family guy here in Onslow County, I'd rather drive 15 minutes to watch a good quality baseball game than I would 45 minutes and have to.
And these are going to be the better. Like if you go to a college baseball game, these are going to be the better ones you're seeing.
These are going to be the better players.
And picked from
each
team. Exactly, so this is going to be a great quality. You know,
they're going to be like the all-stars of the college team.
Exactly. It's almost like an all-star baseball
almost
game.
Almost like almost.
So I look forward to this happening, and hopefully everything can come to pass.
And if the contract that we're going to sign with, if we sign with these with the college baseball folks, you know, we're not locked in to forever with them.
Yeah.
You know, if this works, then maybe we might be able to take the next step if we so desire. But you and I both know there's that pie of people that want to go watch a baseball game is only so big, and the more slices we cut out of that pie, everybody ends up with smaller attendance. We're obviously, if we have some sort of a baseball game here, baseball team, we're probably going to cut into the amount of folks that travel from Onslow County to go up to Kinston.
If you weren't aware that, you know, the Wood Ducks are
right,
moving.
I wasn't aware the Wood Ducks are leaving.
This opens up a great opportunity.
It
hasn't been officially announced yet, but there's so much speculation that everybody pretty much knows is out there.
Right.
This would open up a great opportunity to draw some of those fans that are leaving here to go to Kinston and see games that are going to be ending.
You know, if you want to go watch a baseball game right now other than high school, you're going to have to travel to Morehead City, Wilmington, or Kinston right now. Well, how much better if you can just travel anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes local here.
Get home an hour after the game's over.
Yeah.
And looking at some of the names, I want to talk about some of these names when we come back from our next commercial break. Because minor league baseball in this league is just, it's awesome the way they name the teams. We'll be right back on Sports Talk.
It's Sports Talk live on Freedom 97.1 WSME.
Hey, welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm your host, Chris Rayner, with Bob Warden from the Jacksonville City Council today. Bob, we've talked about we talked about the baseball league coming and everything.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a quick break to do This Day in Sports. You and I will do it. We'll just take turns reading the things.
Right.
It's not very lengthy today, and I just don't want to miss it because it does have some cool stuff.
Okay.
And, of course, Hollywood's going to help us too. And then we'll jump back in and we'll finish up with all the cool stuff you guys are doing to get more sports and entertainment to this area. All right, this day in sports, Friday, May 19th, 2023. First one up in 1909 in his first title defense, Jack Johnson defeats Philadelphia Jack O'Brien to a no decision in six rounds in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I guess that's why Philadelphia Jack Bryan was fighting his hometown to retain the world heavyweight crown. All right, if you get the next one.
Sure. 1912, American League Baseball President Ben Johnson tells the Detroit Tigers if they continue to protest Ty Cobb's suspension, they will be banned from baseball.
See, I always thought nobody liked Ty Cobb to start with. Why were they protesting? All right.
All right. 1943.
23.
Oh, yeah, 23. Sorry. I even have my glasses on. I need to check the prescription there. 1923, 49th Kentucky Derby, Earl Sand wins aboard Zev for the first Derby success.
And in 1935, this day, the NFL adopted its annual college draft again in 1936. Wow, that's been going on a long time.
And in 1960, this might have been a game that I might have watched. San Francisco Giants rookie Juan Marichal beats the Philadelphia Phillies 2-0 on his debut at Candlestick Park. If you remember, he was a guy that kicked his leg way high in the air when he started this pitch. First National League hurdler since 1900 to debut with a one-hitter.
You know why Juan Marichal would kick his leg that high? Because he wanted to.
I was going to say because he could, yes.
Sorry. I couldn't resist that one.
Oh, man. 1973, the 98th Preakness, Ron Turcotte. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Ron Turcotte aboard Secretariat wins in a minute 54, the fastest Preakness race ever, recognized in 2012.
So I guess they didn't recognize that time till then, but man, that's strolling.
That is.
I mean, that's he must, what you know, current standards.
What a great horse, too.
Oh, yeah. Probably the goat in horse racing. Mm-hmm. We talked about that last time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Was brought up. In 1974 Stanley Cup final, the Spectrum in Philadelphia, PA, goaltender Bernie Parent and the Flyers shut out the Boston Bruins 1-0 to win the series 4-2 to become the first expansion team, in quotes, to win the Stanley Cup. And Parent was named the playoff MVP.
1988, the Red Sox retire Bobby Doerr's number one.
2013, Sweden defeats Switzerland to win the 2013 World Ice Hockey Championship.
And in 2019, the PGA Championship, which is going on this weekend, in men's golf at Bethpage State Park. Defending champion Brooks Koepka leads wire to wire and wins despite five bogeys on his last eight holes by two strokes. He ended up winning by two strokes from the world number one, Dustin Johnson. You play golf, Bob, right?
Yep.
So you know what it's like when you got that round going and you limp in is what we call it.
Mm-hmm.
He limped in but still won the title, so he was good.
And last and certainly least, in my opinion, New York Yankees pitcher Corey Kluber no hits the Texas Rangers 2-0 at Globe Life Field, Arlington, Texas.
All right, that's this day in sports, Friday, May 19th. And we're going to jump right back into the local stuff going on because you touched on the difference between the minor league and the college-level team coming.
Yep.
Also, you know, a lot of people are interested in the sports complex, you know, the multi-sports complex out there at Williamsburg area that's been – tell us the status of that and what recently happened this past week.
Sure. We, the city, sent out an RFQ, a request for quotations from – designers, engineers, architects, what have you, sports field experts. And we settled upon a team that's called McAdams Company. And Tuesday night, the city council authorized the city manager to sign a contract with this group to begin the process of what we call master planning the 400 acres that we own out in the Williamsburg plantation, Williamsburg Parkway area. Really, it's where if you're coming down Western Boulevard Extension from 17 and you go by Walmart and keep on going around the corner and go by the Converges place and so forth, and you hit Gum Branch, if you go straight ahead, you're going into the Williamsburg, go behind
right, Lowe's Foods.
Okay. And go down there, and the road dead ends. And where it dead ends is where the city owns, we begin that property ownership, and we go in behind the housing area there, and we go all the way to the river. And so they're going to begin the process. Well, the very first thing they're going to do is what we call the community engagement. What we're going to be doing and what they're going to be doing on our behalf is actually going out and soliciting some ideas from the community. What do they want to see out there? What can they dream of? What would be something that they want to have here in their community for the future? And we're talking a process. This engagement process will be over a 4 to 6 month period, and will kind of give us some ideas of what the community. And when I talk about the community, I'm not just talking about necessarily just the citizens, but also does the county government, what do they want to see? What is the city of Jacksonville's recreation board and recreation department, what do they want to see out there to provide some recreation needs here for our citizens? But then we also bring in our sports commission, the Jacksonville-Onslow Sports Commission.
Right.
What do they want to see? What do they want to have out there to help draw in some tournaments or some events that what we would call sports tourism? For example, I know you know many a friend here in Onslow County that takes their children to soccer tournaments out of county.
Yes, our tax, and our money going.
That's our money leaving and going elsewhere and going.
And not only could we keep our money here, we could be getting the money from those other counties.
Exactly. Yeah. We call it, on the economic development side, we call it OPM, other people's money.
Other people's money.
And so instead of Onslow County traveling to Raleigh or wherever and spending the night in hotels and eating in restaurants in Raleigh and then, of course, participating in some sporting event, be it football, soccer, softball, lacrosse, you name it. We don't have a venue large enough here in Onslow County to entice those sort of tournaments, whatever sporting event it might be. And there's some that we haven't even talked about. But anyway, we're going to be working on that. What do we vision? What do we envision Onslow County going to need? And this build-out process may take as long as 25 years. You look back at the Jacksonville Commons area. We've got, three schools, an elementary, a middle school, a high school. We've got a housing development back there. We've got fire department, the Onslow County Emergency Operations Center. Picture that, but make it more and that, by the way, that was 25 years ago. We just celebrated that a year ago.
Yeah, and that it took that so while to build that area.
Right, it takes that long, but it takes that long for the vision to become a reality. And picture this 400 acres, and I mentioned it goes all the way to the river. We may do some things like a nature walk. We may do a bicycle path. We may do kayak launches.
Yeah, should be right there.
Who knows what all we could do there? And then on the upland side, we have some pretty good hilly relief. We might consider a zip line out there. We might consider we need some more outdoor facilities, primarily practice facilities, but we need some more soccer fields. We need lacrosse fields. We need football fields. We can provide some rectangular spots out there, and we can make them multi-purpose for any sort of outdoor sport.
Well, you touched on the sports commission.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, this year the sports commission is not doing the football jamboree for the first time because it's just been a weather issue. The thing is, if you added a turf, football field out there, or a field that could host football, lacrosse, soccer, whatever, that turf artificial field, it doesn't matter how much it rains. As long as it's not raining during the games, you can play those games.
Sure. And we haven't even talked about what we might have indoor.
That's one other thing, too, with the sports commission. Would you be looking at doing a basketball facility to host the ECI?
Look at how well they've done. Look at that ECI, that indoor basketball tournament that they bring.
Right.
Bring in all those high school basketball teams. We probably need to put some sort of a multi-purpose facility out there, something that will host anywhere from make it convertible where we can bring in some courts and set up basketball for maybe a one-stop place for a basketball venue
or indoor
or a tournament
soccer.
Or an indoor soccer or a pickleball thing tournament or how about some sort of a concert venue.
And see, that's what I was thinking about this, and this is just coming from somebody that's seen other facilities. It'd be nice to have the facilities like they have at the rec center, where you have the two basketball courts side by side, the big room, you can have a boxing tournament there. But it would be great to have one that's more like a show, show facility, where all it is one basketball court for really big games, or maybe even having a college team play,
possibly,
a game here, or like you said, a concert. Yeah. Something that's a little fancier than just the pull out the bleachers and add the temporary bleachers thing like you have for the, the ECI. And that could be your show court for the ECI.
I'm hoping that the people here in Alonzo County will dream big and that we'll be able to provide something. This firm that we've engaged, just real quick, they've designed the Sports Center in Virginia Beach. I've never been there, but they've done some work at UNCW. They've done Chapel Hill. They've done a multi-sports complex in Sanford, Florence, South Carolina. They've done a sports and events center in Gainesville, Florida. Quite pretty. And by the way, I'll make some of these pictures and so forth projects available to y'all to where if you
Hollywood can get some snapshot on this thing. Or email them to us and we'll put them on the website.
By the way, that Virginia Sports Center, they can hold or they can transfer it into a monster truck facility
or a rodeo or motocross.
Right,
like
and when we talk about a multi-purpose, that's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We want to make it to be able to use as widely as possible for because it's just so expensive. If we're going to invest that kind of money into this, we want to make sure that we can use it year round,
right.
And so that means it needs to be multi-purpose rather than single use. These same folks also, I know most of Alonzo County, if you're involved anywhere in soccer, you've been to the WRAL soccer park in Raleigh.
Mm-hmm.
They designed that too. So
Is that the one that used to be the one? Is that the one in Cary area? Has all the fields and everything?
It's actually on Perry Creek Road in Raleigh. Actually in Raleigh.
Wow.
So,
and that's a nice facility, too.
And they've done an aquatic center. And of course, that brings up the YMCA efforts to bring an aquatic indoor pool here to Alonzo County. And we're still negotiating. When I say we, the city, the county government, as well as the Alonzo County school systems, are still negotiating, trying to work out the details. Who owns it? How do we maintain it? Who's responsible for operating? Who's responsible for the providing the lifeguards? Who's responsible for providing the liability insurance?
It's a lot of logistics.
A lot of little things. In principle, I think all three groups have said yes, we're interested in pursuing this. Mm-hmm. Partnering with the Y, but not only the Y, but also getting the state of North Carolina to through our local delegation, Senator Lazar, as well as Representative Shepard and Cleveland, participating and helping provide some monies for that. Yes, in principle, we're working that way, and we just hopefully the details will get worked out, and hopefully we'll be able to have a success here. Of course, the YMCA under Billy Sewell and Steve Wanger have been spearheading that.
Yeah, the pools.
That whole group. But anyway, so that's
now, and that's some feedback I have heard from some people that have, they're excited about the pool, the indoor pool, but a lot of people would love to eventually see an outdoor pool too, and that's part of the proposal too.
It's part of the master plan for that project, for that site, and just to give everybody where that site is, it's the old River of Life facility there on Gum Branch, across from Plantation and across from Catalyst Church.
Right.
So, and the city's water plant backs up to that same facility. And they do have room, and they have talked about at some point in the future providing an outdoor pool facility.
Now, let me ask you this, and this is just a a layman's person asking the question, mm-hmm. will they use the same building or will they basically level and start over?
No, they're gonna keep the building that's there from the church mm-hmm. and convert that into administrative offices as well as some program providing
okay.
some facilities there. And the pool building would actually be a new building that would be adjoining, may not be touching, but would be on adjoining the parking lot there, so that you have a shared use of the the parking lot.
So and, kind of a combination,
right?
Of
and
both,
and you may ask, well, you know, why would the Alamo County Schools be participating in a YMCA pool? Because several of the county high schools have swim teams, and they have nowhere other than the base to practice.
And I was wondering, I'd heard that one time before, and I'm wondering where they were swimming at.
Yeah.
Southwest, the best we can do is hit the creek down there, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I was 17 south at Southwest Creek.
And if you're swimming in Southwest Creek, you better swim fast sometimes.
Yes.
There's gators. And
that may increase your times before. It's like I've told people several times, if you see me, I want to lose some weight. But if you ever see me out there running, please shoot whatever it is that's chasing me, because I'm not much of a runner. But, man, these are some exciting plans.
Well, yes.
I want to touch a little bit more back on the collegiate baseball thing.
Sure,
this is
sure.
kind of, I think, probably the first in line, wouldn't you say, the most feasible one that could happen the quickest?
Yes, yes. And again, it's because it requires minimal investment, and they'll be able to play starting – in 2024, which
right,
is next summer. In fact, they hope to maybe bring a game or two from other teams here to Alamo County this summer just to showcase, whether we can make that happen or not. But anyway, but if we bring a minor league team, and I don't know that there's necessarily any minor league team that's looking at us,
uh-huh.
this is a consulting group that would like to look and explore the possibility of bringing a team here.
Right.
In my mind, starting the college baseball league does not preclude that happening in the
future.
It's
almost a building block, basically.
Perhaps. And we need to see if we can support something on a smaller scale before we go start spending big taxpayers' money.
Well, and I want to talk about some of the team names in just a second, because they're cool names. You mentioned them, but I want to talk about them
sure.
again.
Sure.
But I just want to mention, this past Tuesday, I went to UNCW, my alma mater. Coach Hood, who we had on the show 2 or 3 weeks ago, hooked me and my dad up with some sweet seats right behind the plate. Really great guy, Coach Hood, for doing that. They were playing the number one team in the country, Wake Forest. UNCW ended up losing 4-0, played a great game. Just don't quite have the firepower and the pitching that Wake has at this point. The same night at East Carolina, you had number 9 Campbell roll in and play the number, 15-ranked Pirates, in East Carolina, and people say it was a great game. The atmosphere was just awesome.
Yeah.
And what you're talking about is not taking, that team and putting here. You're talking about taking the best of those teams and putting here for a league. And man, the baseball I saw there Tuesday night was, it was primo. These are great players, even the ones that aren't going to be eligible, good enough to play in this league. And you talk about taking the cream of the crop and putting it in a league.
Sure.
That's going to be something good to watch.
Not many people know that Mount Olive at one time was quite a dominant in their.
Oh yeah, they still are
in their division.
I think they're Division II or III,
whatever division they are. Sure.
And you've got East Carolina, who's hosted regionals and super regionals.
Yeah.
Campbell this year should host a regional.
Mm-hmm.
Last time I saw, 9 or 10 in the country. Wake Forest, of course, hosts a regional, super regional, as long as they win. You got Carolina and State.
And
Duke is up there. I know you're a State guy, so Duke
right.
is.
And let's don't forget all of the historically black colleges here in the state. You've got
Central, who plays. Not Central. Is Central the one from Durham?
Yes.
Okay. Central does play in the old Durham Athletic Park. Did you know that?
No.
They play their home games there. Or they did as of last year. So you're talking about the historic value of the old.
Yeah,
Durham Athletic Park, where Bull Durham was filmed.
The Fayetteville Broncos, Fayetteville State. You got just Shaw University. You got North Carolina A&T. I mean, there's just so many.
Yeah,
so many teams here.
Now, you touched too on the housing for these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Would they be basically like families taking them in for the summer?
Yeah.
So you could potentially bring in a kid that ends up being a major leaguer.
How exciting is that? Or maybe potentially a future Hall of Famer. Who knows?
How exciting is that?
Yeah.
Who knows that the next kid you take in might be the next Barry Bonds we don't want him on the steroids, of course, but you know what I'm talking about? The next Otana or whatever, the kid from Japan, you know, you may have a kid that comes in and stays with you that you, you know, start a relationship with and, you know, keep up with his career. And the next thing you know, he's a major leaguer, you know. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Or even, you know, a great college, even if he's a great college player, something to just have that foundation with that.
Sure.
You know, it's exciting.
Sure.
That's the thing that's, you know, primarily on the radar here, the first thing that'd be available and the quickest. And you're talking about the 2024 season,
yeah,
which would be next, you know, summer.
Yeah.
And most of them get out of school around the first or second week in May, so that would be about when I guess the season would start. Looking at the names, so people need to start thinking about this because this is something that's definitely on the verge of happening. Be thinking of some names. I mean, there was one guy that named for the Carolina Hurricanes, he named their mascot Stormy the Ice Pig.
Mm-hmm.
He named them. He still gets season tickets for doing that. Now, obviously, this may be something that could be worked out here for some free tickets. But
envision some
names some that are possible,
envision the mascot that you could have. Just like, let's just say you had somebody, they chose the nickname the Grunts.
Yeah.
The Jacksonville Grunts.
Well, you know. And it may not be anything that's associated
may not be.
You know,
may not
military,
be.
But there's certainly a lot of options there.
A lot of options.
Some of the ones we talked about, again, I want to hit some of these because these are awesome. The Brunswick Surfing Turfs.
Yeah.
You know, and it's surfing, S-U-R-F-I-N, with a hyphen. Not surf and turfs, but the surfing turfs. The Clayton Clovers, the Kinston Wingmen, the Fayetteville Chutes, obviously, you know, the 82nd Airborne, homage to that. Hendersonville Honeycrisp. Now, Hendersonville is not next door.
No.
Hendersonville is probably the furthest one out from these teams that I see here. You're talking about, you know.
You know what a Honeycrisp is?
Something to do with apples.
Yeah, it's a variety of apple.
Yeah, okay. The High Point Hush Puppies, I love that one. And it's got the dog, you know, the old beagle-looking dog, you know. The Lenore Legends, my favorite probably because I'm a barbecue guy. The Lexington Flying Pigs. Because, you know, Lexington, I know people get tied up in the argument between Western barbecue and Eastern North Carolina barbecue. Mm-hmm. You know what I say about that? I love them both. They're different, and I like both of them. As far as which one's best, obviously, I'm an Eastern North Carolina guy.
Right.
But there's nothing wrong with that Western barbecue. If you get the right sauce on it, that's good stuff. The I can't read this one. Marion Swamp Foxes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Marion, South Carolina. I'm assuming with the Swamp Fox.
Now, there is a Marion, North Carolina.
There's a Marion, North Carolina.
So it's possible.
But and you notice and there's a Lenore Legends. You know, it looks like it might be based on there's a legend up in that area, Marion, Lenore, some sort of a Bigfoot.
The Hickory area up there somewhere.
Some sort of Bigfoot that's supposedly up that way. I don't know what they call them.
Kind of like the New Jersey Devil. Supposedly up there in the Pine Barrens in New Jersey, there's this Ernest T. Bass type thing that's zooming around out there, like Tasmanian Devil sort of. The Pineville Porcupines, the Oak City Gliders, Reedsville Luckies. Now, I can't make this one out, the Skippers. Do you know what city that is?
I think it's Elizabeth City.
Okay, yeah. Looking at it, it's just so small.
It is hard to read.
The Sandhills Bogies, obviously you're talking about Pinehurst area and golf, you know. And then the Sanford Spinners, which are spiders. So along those lines, people need to be thinking about what Jacksonville's team could be called. It may not even have Jacksonville. It may be Onslow or a combination of, you know, of the ones that are for this area, you know.
Yeah, you know, maybe the Ticks.
Yeah.
The tick bites. You know, you know, when you go up to Greenville, you go through a little community of tick bites. So
this area, I mean, I think is ripe for having baseball. I've often been shocked that we've never had a minor league team with the military guy, you know, young guys here that would like to go to ball games and enjoy that atmosphere. And this may be the perfect storm. I mean, I hate to lose the Downey's Wood Ducks, but it looks like that's probably going to be – it's not their choice. It's basically the franchise is being bought out.
Yeah. Right, and that's what I like about this college scenario is that these are local owners. They live here in the local area, and like I said, he's a Marine veteran. She's been a real estate agent here in Onslow County. I think there'll be more local ownership and less likely of a chance of somebody pulling the team and moving on us. That's what happened to the Kinston Indians.
Right, the Indians. And
the
Indians
left.
Oh, it broke my heart to see Granger Stadium.
Yeah, and then we went a year or two before they got another couple of years.
It was 5 or 6.
Was it that long? Yeah. Okay.
And then the Wood Ducks, you know, you're just – a whim from the Texas Rangers saying we don't want to be here anymore, you know, and that unfortunately that's what it is. And who'd have thought probably, oh my gosh, how long has the Cape Cod League been in existence? 20, 30 years at least, and probably more. Who'd have thought, you know, when the Cape Cod League started that it had become what it is now? This could be the beginning of something like that that stays in this area and is producing revenue and talent coming through.
Sure.
Even if it's nothing else, you might have a Major League Baseball player in the future that plays here, loves the area, and decides when he retires to come, you know, build a palatial mansion out there on Topsail, you know? There's all kinds of scenarios
sure.
that just help the area.
You know, and again, if we provide a venue for food trucks, I know there's some food truck folks out there that think that the city of Jacksonville is against food trucks.
Yeah, I've seen some of the
articles. Nothing could be further from the truth. This would be an opportunity to provide some venues for them. So,
well, two things I want to do before we leave this topic. Number one, keep in mind if you need a PA guy or we go to radio with it, look me up. Let me know. Number two, if it goes to the sports complex, what are we looking at time wise? I know it's hard to say because the contract has just been started.
Well,
and all that, but
we hope to start what we're calling the community engagement, which is really nothing the fancy term for feedback from the citizens on what they would like. That'll start roughly. Kickoff will be roughly June 1, and so we're looking at a 4 to 6 month time frame for that. Then they'll take, you know, during that period, they'll take the citizens' input, and then they'll come back with some options of what the citizens are looking for. We'll kind of see how everything falls out. Basically, we'll see which box most people, venue, which idea is the top rated, which one's a second, so forth. And then they'll come up with a master plan, and they'll sort of lay out, okay, this is how we might develop the 400 acres. And then we'll start talking dollars. It's going to take a while. I suspect that the easiest thing for us to do will be to put some sort of outdoor fields in, just because, as you know, that's the most cheapest thing that we could probably get.
And that
gets
the groundwork
and
started.
Get the groundwork. Hey, we've still got to put a road in. We got a couple of wetlands crossings that we've got to get approved. We got to put water, sewer, probably natural gas in there. We're certainly going to have to put power. We're going to have to put internet, telephone. We're going to have to put all of the infrastructure in there before we really can go. Now, we may just put it in part way so that we can do the first phase of construction, whatever that first phase is or wherever it's going to be located. But we'll probably advance all of the infrastructure as an incremental as we develop each phase, so that something we can bite. You know, how do you eat an elephant? This 400 acres is an elephant for us. We're going to eat it one bite at a time.
Yeah.
So we'll phase it and so forth. So I'm hoping that maybe within 2 years we'll have construction started on something. What it'll be, I don't know yet. We're going to rely on what the citizens tell us and what we can afford. And of course, we're looking for partners. We're going to be looking for I'm hoping the county will want to partner with some of us, you know, with some of those projects that we have out there. We're just going to have to wait and see.
Well, you spoke of infrastructure. Is there still in the workings for one day to have a connector from that area over to Highway 258?
Yeah, but it will not go through
anywhere near this complex.
It will not go through the Williamsburg Western Boulevard. The state DOT told us years ago that was much too costly.
Everything would have to be in the air.
Right, everything's got to be in the air. It's such a wide, it's a wider place than the river. There's so much wetlands there. We've been looking at a possibility of somewhere where maybe connecting 111, where it dead ends at on 258.
Right. What would be the Jacksonville
and,
side?
And then somewhere
Ramsey
roughly
Road.
Where Ramsey Road is, something roughly. You know,
gotcha.
We're not necessarily going to be a straight line there. It may.
And some of it will still have to be in the air a lot,
right.
like the Myrtle Beach bypass.
You know, we're still working on that. As you know, and your listeners may not know, the state roads and transportation had a funding issue for the last couple of years. We just got notification within the last week that we finally got what's on our was out on our 10-year plan has finally all got funded. So we're going to be starting the process of trying to get some additional new projects funded over the next year or two. That 111 extension over to Ramsey Road may end up on the list and may end up getting funded. It's on our wish list. It's just not on the funding list from the state yet.
Well, some very exciting stuff happening sports-wise in Onslow County.
Yes,
so,
sir.
We appreciate you.
And it's not just sports. I know this is sports, but hey, it's Onslow County is no longer on slow. We're on fast.
We had an officer come from another county one time, and she said we had the reputation to be called one slow county. Once she got here and realized how things hop here, we're not one slow county.
We're hopping.
Yeah, we're hopping. We want to make sure we thank once again today Golden Corral. We're here at the Platinum Corral headquarters of Golden Corral broadcasting today. Also want to thank our other sponsors, National Dodge, Chrysler Jeep Ram, Rock Creek Golf and Country Club, Golden Corral, of course, Bartley Insurance Services, Bill Mercer, Lane & Associates Family Dentistry, Humphrey Heating and Air, Jones Onslow EMC, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, Southern Touch Painting and Fountain Management, and I almost forgot our Downey's Heating and Air sponsor of the Hurricanes Report. Maestro, cue the music. Well, I hate to be a Debbie Downer, folks, but the Canes took one on the chin last night, lost in the first round of the Eastern Conference Finals, but there's still hope. They'll be home Saturday night. I can't go because of a wedding, unfortunately, but we were there, and the atmosphere was still great, man. It looked like a snowstorm in there with all those towels being waved around. Once again, I say that if you want to get your crowd involved, do like the Steelers used to do, Bob. Put the terrible towel on the seat, and it just drives people nuts. But Canes 0-1 in the series, but looking to bounce back Saturday night against the Florida Panthers, and I'm sure they will. And that's going to do it for Sports Talk today. Make sure you check out all the ball games going on. Thank you again, Bob Warden, for being with us, Jacksonville City Council, all the cool stuff going on in Onslow County. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Anything you want to add before we go?
No, thank you for having me. I couldn't imagine me talking for as long as I did. I thought I'd run out of things to say, but I've still got a lot more to talk about.
Well,
so
there's two things I know how to do, and both of them is talk, so we can cover it. All right, thank you, and we'll see you next week on Sports Talk.